Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
I thought this would be a great time for the two of us to sit down and chat about some food.
Sure.
I think we've been away from the mic for a bit, so it'd be kind of interesting just to see what kind of culinary
things
you've been working on.
Both of us have had changes, too. We've both been in the food industry for so long and both taking a little brief hiatus, a little break. How's that going for you?
Well, I'm definitely getting a little bit relaxed. I can say it's been a little rough the last few days just because I'm feeling a little stuffed up. And
right.
I think it's that time of year that the cold season has come in and starting to kick my butt a little bit.
But right.
I've been definitely keeping busy. I got a whole bunch of little programs going on, working with that Lush Valley and the Young Cooks program, which is amazing.
Cool.
And I think we'll have to do an episode later on about cooking with kids and just what they can do and just interesting watching them understand food and connect with food. So,
well, I think we've always had a high regard for focus on having kids in the kitchen. So I'd love to see how that hands-on with students, see how that's going for you.
Well, I think most of my love for food and where I've grown from has come from what I did as a kid, like growing up, working in the garden, being on the beach and collecting food, foraging, and then helping with the family meal.
Yeah.
And having guests and friends over and cooking a big feast for everyone and just having a good time together, that social aspect of food. So
I get what you're saying. And I've been enjoying my break from food for quite a while now. Had not necessarily from food, but just from the regimented structure of it all.
Right.
Just been nice to take a break from that structure. And I've, but in that time, I just haven't been that inspired by food any more than I normally am. But then the other day we've had some pretty good days in the last little while, little breaks from the rain and what have you and the snow. And I went out to where my garden's going to be. And then it just, everything started to fall into place for me. I was like, I'm going to make great food here. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make great food today. And then, so for the last couple of days, I've been getting a little more adventurous in the kitchen and having a lot of fun.
Well, see, that's a great, and I know what you're saying. Like, I've been exhausted, and thinking about food and creating things has just been like, blah.
Yeah,
I
know.
And it's been kind of tough, but I've been lucky enough to have a couple experiences and stepping out of a commercial kitchen for which I was doing crazy hours. To be not doing that all of a sudden, I'm getting that ambition to start cooking a little bit more.
Yeah.
And sort of having little ideas of infusing different things and finding new foods to cook with. So I know that was part of the reason I said we should just, we were just chatting and sort of seeing where we're going to go with this podcast and sort of lining up some interviews and trying to figure out who should we talk to next.
Yeah.
And we got a nice big list going.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I haven't been ambitious about cooking, but I started cooking this and I was like, oh, wait, stop.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. So tell me what's been going on in your kitchen.
Well, I had never made gnocchi before and not for any other reason, just I haven't.
It's great that we owned a pasta restaurant or pasta business.
We had a pasta business and I've never made gnocchi. In fact, I've only eaten gnocchi a couple of times and I've enjoyed it, but I just never really got it. And one of those few times was when you actually brought it, when we had the pasta place and you're like, what do you think about this?
Right.
So I made a potato and roasted squash gnocchi the other day. And then normally I'm a sauce guy. Like I generally will make a sauce or a pan sauce or something. Or a jus or a gravy. And this was different. I just did cherry tomatoes on a low roast. Lots of garlic, sage.
Just like in the oven?
Chopped, chiffonade, the basil and sage. And the garlic was minced. And I just tossed it in my whole tomatoes. Didn't cut them or anything. With olive oil, salt and pepper, and hot sauce. A little bit of hot sauce. Yeah. Nice. I just use some sriracha, but I mean, I'm sure any hot sauce would work.
Or your favorite hot sauces.
Yeah. I like to go as, I mean, sriracha is more or less just chili and garlic, and I just want that. I'm sure sambal oleic, which is just chili, that would have worked.
Right.
And roasted it down really low because I didn't want anything to burn or brown.
Well, I just love that in the oven when you have that slow roast, like you're just getting rid of all that moisture and just bringing out the sweetness of the tomato.
So. It was, so then when the gnocchi was done, took that whole pan, scraped it into the gnocchi, turned, like after I drained the gnocchi, turned it, and some fresh parm, there was dinner. Like, it was amazing. And now we've decided that we're having gnocchi all the time. Yeah, and then last night, actually, something actually that I definitely have to give you all the credit on this was when we owned Prontissima, speaking of the pasta company that we used to own, I'd made soups in the past, but I was very recipe adherent. Like, I would only make a recipe or soup if I had a recipe in front of me.
Right.
And you definitely showed me like the basics of just, here's how you make soup. Once you know these, you can make any soup.
Right.
And I got that. And lately I've been making a lot more soup. Like, literally, I would make a couple of soups a year. Now I make at least one soup a week. We have a lot of soup in the house now. I mean, I've been making a cauliflower, garlic and potato one that we were just loving. Last night I made I did this one where I did a vegetable broth and then cooked down a lot of celery. The last minute I threw in a lot of garlic and spinach, added it to the broth, pureed it. So then add that all together, made the soup, confit some garlic with rosemary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and threw all this little confit garlic.
Just slow roasted in the garlic in the oil. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I used that oil, that rosemary garlic oil.
Oh, nice.
Drizzled that on the soup at the end. But it came out of me having, we had from Honey Grove, the bakery, fantastic bakery in town.
Oh, delicious. We need to interview them.
Yeah. A loaf of their olive bread that was starting to stale. We'd only gotten halfway through it. So I took the rest of that, chopped it up in this olive bread, and then gave it a really light toasting because I didn't want to burn those olives.
Right.
And so threw some really big croutons into that soup. It was fantastic.
Oh, you know, old bread and soup is just like...
It was great. It was
just
great.
The best. So, yeah. I've actually... I have to say, I kind of did the lazy cheater man on soup. I had a bunch of cabbage left over. And so I had some, carrot, celery, onions, of course. And a bunch of dill that I had gotten for the kids because they made a nice tzatziki.
Okay.
And so I had all this little bit left over, and I'm like, well, I don't want to throw this out. But so I just sort of like basically cut up my onions and everything I threw in the pot and just got a little nice stock going there, just a vegetable stock. So all the trim, all that, threw it right in there, got that to a boil, and then I sauteed off all my thing and came up with kind of like a borschtki soup. I said borschtki.
Yeah, I saw that.
A borscht soup. So I used all that dill in there, but I was missing, of course, I didn't have beets. I didn't have any potatoes or anything, but I was able to mix all that together and just bring out with that nice stock, added that to the soup, came out really nice. Of course, I had a little sour cream in there. That fresh dill and just a little bit of apple cider vinegar I threw in there just to bring that, sort of crisp it up a little bit.
Tonight I'm making I'm doing a salad. We've got a lot of spinach left over because I bought a lot of spinach. I'm going to mix it with some baby kale. And we're going to do a really light dressing, like a vinaigrette, goat's cheese, hazelnuts, and roasted squash and pumpkin seeds and sort of make like a hearty winter salad. I am not sold on the vinaigrette yet. I still haven't. I'm sure once I get my final assembly of ingredients in front of me, I'll figure out what I want to do for a dressing. But that's something I got to say. That's one of the things that definitely inspired me or reminded me is I'd gone down to the market on Saturday. Every little kiosk, every stall, every vendor, just to see who was offering what. Yeah, and it reminded me that if I keep interesting ingredients in the fridge, even if I don't have a plan for them, within a few days, something will hit me. Oh, I should do this with that.
That's right.
Or I'll do this with that. And it's definitely reminded me and then therefore inspired me to get back into the kitchen. I'm like, oh, I've got that great this, or I've got that great that. This is what I'm going to do with it.
It's kind of fun to find that thing and sort of, you're going to experiment and you're probably going to fail a couple times.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of like I'm trying to cut back on food waste. And I think we all are trying to cut back on food waste, right? Like food is expensive and it's nothing worse than throwing half of it away. So, but I like now that like taking that moment and just throwing together a stock when I'm starting to cook on something and just throw everything in there and make a nice vegetable stock, and whether I freeze that off or
I make at least one stock a week, whether I'm making a soup or not. Like I just look at all my vegetables that are starting to go or that I, or whatever. And again, I don't say, well, that's the stock. I'm like, that's the beginning of it. And then from go from there and cook it off. So I'm not wasting anything.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. So it's nice to have those things.
Absolutely.
I've got two stories to talk food because, and you were involved in a little bit of one because we had a little bit of a Super Bowl party at my house.
Yeah,
this
for
is how
sure.
long it's been since we've actually sat down.
Oh my God, is it really? Yeah.
That's... Great game. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I'm a little bit of a football fan.
Yeah. I'm not really. I came for the food.
Yeah, I'm more of I like cooking, and it seems like a time to have like those really terrible foods. So,
well, I think you said like, come on over for a sausage party, and I was like, yeah, obviously expecting the usual colloquialism, but you actually had like 12 different sausages that you were testing out.
I got a bunch of sausages from Tannadice Farms,
right?
And Alan wanted me to try them out and sort of compare them, so I went out and bought a bunch of sausages from around, and I made everyone eat sausages. So we had piles of sausages everywhere, barbecued them off, which they were like, oh, on the barbecue, like just adds that extra flavor to them. So they're just like dynamite. Watching this great game, and we had some chili going. Lots of wings. Some friends brought wings in.
That's right. You had lots of things. You had like lots of pickles and olives and crackers. And
what was that? The tater tot nachos.
Oh, the tachos.
Tachos. Yes, I made tachos.
Nice. Yeah.
Sometimes I break down and do some of the things a little bit out there. So yeah,
those keep your kids happy.
Kept...
Right?
Kids happy. Kept me happy. What are you talking about? That was a great thing. And then sausages. But I had so many sausages left over that we ended up taking some out. And good old Blaine there called me up and he's like, I'm going up to Campbell River. Going to go up to Lower Campbell and have a fire.
I was
going
to say, I saw a picture on, I don't know if it was Twitter or on your Facebook feed, but it was pretty serene and picturesque and like right beside it was lakeside and there was sausages cooking.
Yeah, well.
That must have been from then.
I was doing the Slush Valley kids class, and so I made a soup. We made a corn chowder because I thought it'd be neat to teach the kids how to make a roux, you know, how to cook that butter with equal parts flour, equal part butter, cook it down and saute off your vegetables and build a nice creamy base. Of course, I made too much soup, so I'm like, okay, this is perfect. So threw that in the cooler and grabbed some sausages, and then we made some cabbage slaw.
We
took some scones, some cabbage slaw, sausages, and chowder, and then we got a fire going up right beside the lake.
Oh, that's amazing.
Threw the old cast iron frying pan in there, put the soup in there just to slowly warm up. Blaine brought some wraps, and this was what we have in sausages and wraps with a bit of the slaw and some mustard in there.
Oh, no way.
Oh, a nice warm soup. I was like, this is heaven, right?
Yeah,
like,
that'd be amazing.
Just amazing little.
Do you know, when I was in Sweden, as an aside, Swedes, they don't have hot dog buns. Like, to them, it was bewildering when I was talking about them. They serve all their hot dogs come in wraps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in flour tortillas. That's how they've always done hot dogs there.
Yeah.
That's great.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just a nice thing to get out of the house and get down by the river. And Blaine got me into throwing slings. We had rock slings. And being like little kids there just throwing rocks out into the lake. It was kind of a nice little adventure being out there.
Speaking of Rue, just totally made me think of the fact that something else I've been doing a lot of in the last little while, I have found that there were some great chicken deals lately.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't serve a lot of meat in my house or a lot of chicken or what have you. And I had this leftover. I think it actually started with Christmas, leftover turkey Christmas. Did a batch of turkey pot pies.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry, speaking of roux, just made me think of that. That went over well. But I was like, I felt somewhat stunted. Because my old pastry recipe is essentially a self-taught pastry recipe. I was like, you know, I've got all this extra cooked chicken. I'm going to make, this was a couple of weeks later. I was like, I'm going to do pot pies again, but this time I'm going to pay a little more attention to the pastry. I'm going to find a better pastry recipe. So I found a pretty standard one online. Nothing special. I followed it to the letter. It is incredible. I made the lightest, fluffiest, flakiest pastry I've ever made in my life. Just so full of flavor. Amazing. It reminds me how easy chicken pot pie, which is essentially a one pot dinner. I mean, we always make it with a little salad too, but
of course
it's how easy it is. It's just, you literally can get by with just making a quick roux, turning that into a bit of a sauce.
Right.
A bit of a, and then you throw in some leftovers or some stuff you've got in the freezer. You make the pastry that I made was the easiest pastry I've made. You made it all in a food processor.
Oh, yeah.
So it took minutes and then it was ready. And then you cook it off. And yeah. And honestly, everybody that I had enough that I gave it to everybody. And everybody was like, this is easily the best chicken pot pie I've ever had. And I was like, I wish I could take credit, but it's not all me. Like, I found very simple, easy. We always talk about getting some recipes up there. It's one of those ones I think we should probably throw up there.
Just start posting anybody recipes.
Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. It's so easy.
Well, that's something I've been working on. Just doing, I've some of our listeners have seen, I put a couple recipes up online, just spoken recipes with some of the ingredients on there. So if you want to try out some of the stuff or definitely want to put you along that way, and it's definitely something I want to feel more energized to actually sit down and do. I've been doing all these kids recipes with Lush Valley, and a lot of these recipes I don't want to say dumbing down, but I'm finding simple recipes so that I can teach the kids these are the recipes, and then you can add things to it and you can do your own things to it. So working with like a banana bread or doing a drop cookie, like kind of working around those, that's what's coming up next is baking. So I've just been playing around with that, but I found myself cooking has been a lot more home cooking, taking ingredients and sort of using it for one meal and then breaking down to the next one. Because you were talking about your turkey pot pies there.
Yeah.
And I did shepherd's pie other day, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, like get that ground beef and saute it all down. And there's other ground meats you can use for that. Definitely some lamb or something. But I used what I had. Bit of cream corn in there.
Yeah.
And some peas and carrots and onions and celery and saute all that up. That's my base. And then I made mashed potatoes and just piped those all on. Just a simple mashed potatoes. Nothing. The old hand masher and just mashed them up. A little bit chunky. I wasn't too kid. Roasted it in the oven. Beautiful. Ate that for 2 days. And then then I took the leftover mashed potatoes because I made extra. I had my little helper in there too, Michaela, who was doing most of the mashing on the potatoes. But I made potato cakes out of them. Got a cast iron pan, heated up really well. I just formed them up in little pans, seared them off. And then I found asparagus was on sale. So I bought a thing of that, grilled off some asparagus.
Nice.
Grilled chicken breasts on top of that. And then I made some hollandaise and had a couple of grapefruits and just made a grapefruit hollandaise sauce to go on top. So I was like super easy, but everyone was like, wow, that's so much work. And I'm like, well, the potatoes were already done. Yeah.
And the asparagus doesn't read that much work.
I seasoned the salt and pepper on the chicken. Yeah. So it wasn't that crazy, but all those flavors just came out.
Yeah, that's great. Well, like I said, I'm excited because definitely inspires me again. It gets me thinking about good food, gets me thinking about fresh food. And then from there, I don't know if we should touch in again and talk about this in the future or if we're just going to throw some recipes up there.
Well,
I'd like to hear.
Why don't we ask you out there if you're listening and if you have any of your great ideas over the wintertime meals that you've been putting together or things that have inspired you.
Exactly.
Send us an email and maybe we can talk about it. Or if there's something you want to learn, maybe we can put some recipes up there. And share some food with you out there.
Or even, let us know if any of the stuff we've talked about today is interesting enough that we should put a recipe up there for you. Because I'd be happy to do it, but if nobody wants the recipe, I'm not going to go through the work.
Well, I guess if you want to, I guess the way to contact us is at the edible valley@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our Facebook site when we get around to it. You get the Edible Valley podcast. Mm-hmm. We have our WordPress site that's going on with a little bit of pictures and extra things, which is the edible valley@wordpress.com. And then we have, of course, our own site through Podbean is ediblevalley.com.
You can find us everywhere else too, Twitter and Instagram and all those other places. We're all over the place. Just generally, if you look for Edible Valley, you're going to find us. But let us know, and we'd be happy to get some stuff up there for you guys to try out some of the things that we do.
And we always love any comments, feedbacks, review. If you want to go on to iTunes and give us a little couple stars or a little review on what you think about our podcast, we'd love to hear you on that.
Yeah.
Anything, anyone you know, or if you're an up-and-coming farmer, chef, producer in the Comox Valley or anywhere on Vancouver Island, and we like to tell people about what you're doing and how they can get a hold of you. We'd love to hear from you and love to maybe sit down and have a chat with you about what you're doing.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.